What's up, Screw Crew? We got a new movie coming out called The Drama from A24, starring Zendaya and Robert Pattinson. And that's all you needed to tell me to be locked in. It's giving a happily engaged couple is put to the test when an unexpected turn sends their wedding week off the rails. And that's the type of suspense and drama that I'm looking for. No pun. After watching the trailer, my mind is going in so many different ways. Like, what was Zendaya up to? I can't wait to see exactly how these issues play into their relationship, the relationships with their friends, their wedding. Like, what actually is going on? Y'all already know how I feel about bringing back real theater experiences. One thing you can always count on is A24 doing what they got to do for a movie. And of course, Zendaya and Robert Pattinson is going to deliver. This seems like one of those movies that you have to be in the theater for so that everybody can experience it all together. Y'all go check out the trailer and let us know what you think. Remember, The Drama is in theaters April 3rd. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Unhinged and Immoral. We're back. Weekly recordings, weekly drops, for as long as we can hold out on. We're going to have a little hiccup here and there. You know, we got some surgeries. You know, we got some events and some things. But for the most part, we should be running smoothly.
I think we've hit our flow state. I think we've got it. Welcome back. To the backgrounds, to the FaceTime, to the group chat. A lot has happened this week, y'all. We were just on TikTok Live talking about how we are planning to like go live on Patreon so that we can start including the Screw Crew kind of in the chat with the topics that we talk about. Mm-hmm. We're getting a more order of service to how we're running this thing. We've been freeballing it for years, well, a year at this point. So I think it's time we have segments. 2020, because y'all know we go off on rants and tangents.
I'm
not saying it's not going to happen, because that's where the magic is. I'm just saying our Screw Crew going to see it when it happens. That's what I'm saying. So make sure that you're subscribed to our Patreon. Yeah. We're still working out the logistical kinks, but, I mean, we got multiple phones and laptops at this point, so we'll get it done.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. We'll definitely figure something out. So stay tuned for that, darling. Stay tuned. Actually, you know what I was just thinking about? There is a live. This is not even a whatever. I'll say that after the pod. I'm thinking we're still on the fucking phone. Anyways, welcome back to Unhinged and Immoral. Let's get to some topics.
I want to talk about the Grammys and Chappell Roan's nipples,
baby. Chappell, you know why I like Chappell? Not really because of the music. Not to say that her music is bad, but full disclaimer, I am not someone who really likes pop music. That is not my genre of choice. Every now and then, a pop song definitely enters my zeitgeist, and I enjoy it. But for the most part, I do not listen to pop. So that's my little disclaimer. So the reason I like Chappell, it has nothing to do with her music. I like that she is extra as fuck. She has said a couple of times that, you know, she really enjoys drag queens and, like, she's, you know, used them as point of reference for the way in which she has her get up. She's taken it as far as, like, being a pop star. Yes, bring back nudity.
Bring back the stunt queens. I do think.
Yes. I live. And
speaking of stunt queens, Gaga showed her motherfucking ass last night. But that's going to be a whole separate. We got to give Gaga her own thing. I think being raised under the Gaga in the literal meat costume, Nikki, before she went to Coonville with the chicken wing around her neck, Beyonce, your impact, because the girls want to be Beyonce in terms of looking cute and looking, you know what I'm saying? Like all that type of stuff. We still need the stunt queens. We need the weird bitches. Like we need the freaks.
There is a lane for there's different lanes, and that's what I really enjoyed about the early 2000s is like there were different eras, different sections of people, and you could tell, this is one of my favorite parts about 2000 specifically, you could tell what type of music somebody did simply by how they dressed on the red carpet. Nowadays, everybody want to wear the same bodycon dress. Bitch, I don't know what you sing. You don't have an R&B gown on.
You know what
on.
I'm saying?
You don't have punk rock eyeliner. How am I supposed to know what you do?
I really like the Swedish girl. Zara, is her name Zara? Lawson.
Who?
Lawson.
Oh, Lawson. The
I like because
I don't know nothing about her, but she's
can
cute
blow. She's cute, but you know what? What I like about her, she has a specific style. I think we're agreeing in terms of the early 2000s had the pop stars and this and just the superstars with a specific type of style, and they kind of held true to that. Of course, you had the Rihannas who were constantly rebranding and changing their style, but the folks were holding on to like, if this is my vibe, if this is my personal style and vibe, everything I wear is going to match that. I feel like we don't really get a lot of that anymore, but we're getting back to it. And that's how I know nature is healing.
Mm-hmm. We need that. And also, there was a time period specifically within the 20, little bit past the 2010. So maybe it entered into like the 2014 to 2020. Mm-hmm. Music also started to merge, and it was hard to differentiate between the genres as mm-hmm. well, and that is something I absolutely hate. I enjoy being able to listen to different sounds of music. Mm-hmm. I don't like that country, pop, and rock have all blended their sound. No! Yeah. And I blame you, Taylor Swift.
No, you're not wrong. Because our song is a slam of screen doors, sticking out like tapping on your window.
Bitch, you was supposed to be a country girl, not and not to, and I'm not trying to be the bitch to like put bitches in boxes, but bitch, you was supposed to be in that box. No shade.
You know, genres.
You was supposed to be in that box, girl. Cause now people don't even know what rock is because you're trying to blend all these things together. And it's like, bro, like, they're calling things that aren't the
things. You know what I think it is?
I don't like it.
Also, before the people who did fusion music was kind of its own thing to begin with. So if you had like a pop rock situation, like I think this is a really good example how Shaboozy mixes country and hip hop. That is Shaboozy's sound. I do not now expect the whole genre of country to be mixed with hip hop.
Yeah, why are y'all all doing it? And yeah. I get it. It's like when something works and everyone blows,
it's kind of like when everyone in the early 2010s was making EDM music.
Oh my gosh. The EDM era was so... What was we on? Everybody was on Molly's.
Baby, on. I don't mind. When Usher got on the wave, I said, we're cooked. We're done.
When you dance on the floor. And unfortunately...
And she it
don't make you a hoe, baby, I don't.
What'd he say?
Usher ate his EDM era.
He did. And that's the problem. Usher had a good EDM era. I think that's also the problem. When people start mixing the genres, they be eating it up. And then it kind of becomes a standard for the genre now. No, like, let's just have this era and then go back. You see what I'm saying?
Sometimes it's just a moment in time. And the thing is, you can mix and blend different sounds while maintaining your individuality. Because Usher brought Usher to EDM. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't just do the same thing everybody else did. Like, he had the techno beats, but was giving you Usher vocals. And I have another bone to pick with my girls. This is something that this is a thesis statement of mine. The reason that R&B is in a shaky state, and I don't want to say R&B is dead. R&B will never be dead as long as black people are here.
Preach.
Get that correct. But the reason that R&B is in a shaky state is because we don't have enough R&B pop records. Mm. The people who did R&B pop correctly are people like Brandy specifically. You are going to get those strong, hard R&B sitting vocals and runs with a good beat. With a good beat. And it was very necessary. Toni Braxton also gave us a couple of really good R&B pop moments. But R&B led.
He wasn't man enough
the
for
pop
me.
Was the beat.
Why were you thinking?
I want my girls to invest in more upbeat tempos with those hard-hitting mm-hmm. vocals. I need the ladies to work with Dark Child and Missy Elliott. Thank you and good night. Missy, we need you.
I got a cute face, chubby waist, thick legs, in shape, romp shaker. Make you do a double take.
So yeah, that was my thesis statement on
that. It makes sense.
But back
to the Grammys.
A tangent. That stemmed from Chap's titties, by the way.
I mean, I do.
I love how
my
brain works.
Chap's titties took us there. Shout out to the Mutuals. Kehlani ran off with a Grammy. Durant ran off with a Grammy. Shout out to Dolce, ran off with a Grammy. Kendrick Lamar, he runs off with Grammys. It's like his thing.
He is now the most Grammy Award winning rapper in history. My Gemini King, we praise you. All hail King Kendrick.
Shaboozy. Shaboozy got a Grammy. Sinners won a Grammy. Ryan Coog and them got Grammy. Coog trying to be an EGOT. Did you see that Steven Spielberg reached EGOT status last night as well? So, you know, it's only 40. I don't quote me on that, but it's like under 50 EGOTs ever. It's not a lot. Jay Hood's in that. And now Steven Spielberg's in that too. So shout out to him.
And Jamila will be in that.
Okay, EGOT. Come on. Okay. Talk to him. Listen.
Yes. Check in 30 years, though. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I ain't going to be a long rub. It's not going to happen right now, but eventually.
But it will.
I mean, Steven been around since the motherfucking 70s. So, you know, it doesn't have to happen overnight. I will say Jennifer got her shit in less than a decade, though. She did a...
I was going to say, that bitch sweeped her.
You did a run. It was. It's like, what the fuck? That's usually how that scooped them doesn't work. Quickly. That's not usually how that goes, okay?
Yeah. She scooped them the fuck up. Good for her. Yeah, it was a good night. Grammys was a good night for Black folks and for just, I think... I didn't walk away angry at the Grammys. Like, I didn't feel like people didn't get their rightful things. I think having Bad Bunny win Album of the Year was partly musical and also partly political, absolutely, for sure. And I think we needed that. I think we absolutely needed that, especially his first speech talking directly talking about ICE and then coming back and the majority of his thank you speech of Album of the Year being in Spanish. All that was very intentional, and I love that for him, and I can't wait to see what the fuck that nigga do for the Super Bowl, because I know he is finna to put all types of politics in it, and it's finna be Viva la México, Puerto Rico, Via mi gente Latino.
You know what's crazy? Y'all know I love Benito. I don't be knowing what he's saying, only a little bit, but I be listening. That album was incredibly political. That's really album is a love letter to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory, so Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, okay? And that's it was specifically, it's a love letter to Puerto Rico. And so I think that him just winning it was really fitting. I was actually very happy that he won. I wasn't surprised he was gonna he won, because if you listen to the album, when it first came out, especially when all the Latino people, especially those in America, were doing the deep dives and the dissertations on it and explaining what like each imagery meant, and you had a lot of Afro-Latinos included in that. He gives Afro-Latino vibes himself. That hair is a little bit coarse, even though he loves a gringa. He loves a gringa. It's always going to be a skinty gringa on his arm. I wasn't surprised he won, because when it came out, I was in Benito land, and I learned every little piece. I said, oh, my God. He is absolutely...
Yeah, a lot of people talking about it.
He is someone I feel 1,000% comfortable and confident comparing to Beyonce in terms of... When you watch his music videos, you know how Beyonce is so, even down to the smallest detail, means something? He is also very much like that with his music videos and his imagery that he includes. So I am also very excited to see his shit for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I will say I actually was surprised that he won, only because with Album of the Year, that's the biggest award of the night. And I've just seen so many times where the Grammys will... give it to someone who I did not necessarily agree with. I don't want to say who didn't deserve, because I don't think that that's fair to say. But I do think that, like, in comparison to some of the other people in the genres, or not the genres, the category, it'll be kind of like, I mean, okay, I guess.
Who else was?
Harry Styles. But when he was called, I was like, you know what? I didn't listen to a lick of that album, mainly because I don't listen to Spanish music unless it's Selena. Y'all know I am Selena. And that's no shade. It's just I don't know what you're saying, so I don't. That's just not my, you know, that's not my bag. But I do know that it impacted a lot of people. So for me, off the strength of that nigga being Puerto Rican and speaking that goddamn Espanol on that motherfucking microphone and saying fuck ICE loud and clear, I think that was was important enough, and that is going to be historic. And years down the line, we're going to talk about that the same way we talk about how Will Smith boycotted, and you know, talking about how we brought hip hop into the space of the Grammys. The same way we look at Eddie Murphy talking shit about the Oscars not honoring Black folks. Those are the type of things that is going to really be impactful long after today and tomorrow. So
I also think it's okay. I looked at the. This was a good year, though. Like, there have been years where for Album of the Year, it's been like, I guess that's all y'all had. This year, you had Leon Thomas, Pharrell, Kendrick, Sabrina Carpenter, Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber, and Tyler, the Creator. This was a really good year. Tyler's album was amazing. That was her album of the year? These are the Grammy for Album of the Year nominees.
I thought Clips was also nominated.
Yes, that. I'm sorry, I said Pharrell. He's the first name. So Pharrell, Pusha T, Clips.
Yeah, that was
Clips. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This was a good year. Even Lady Gaga's Mayhem album, I really liked. Tyler, Creator, obviously everyone loves Mutt.
It was a good year. It was a good year.
It really was.
I was very satisfied, and it's going to be an even better year when Beyonce drops for Act 3 this year. Anyways,
you know, my sister had to take a time off.
I was very something I really, really enjoy from the Grammys, and I don't know if this has ever been done before, but this is the first time I really noticed it. So I really want to give the Grammys their things for this, highlighting the new artist category and allowing them all to perform back to back for their category was amazing. I absolutely love that. Being a new artist, specifically in music, is very difficult. And I think that that really was a great showcase of, like, here are our new artists, category nominees. Let me show you what they can do. And they all have their own little flavor and flair. And I thought it was really dope. I am just so happy for Leon Thomas. Like,
victorious!
I don't know that baby. Mm-hmm. I don't know that baby from Canada. I've never met him. We've never interacted on socials. But I just, watching him from Victorious and knowing how much he has done in the industry before getting his own spotlight, similar to Victoria Monet, it just feels good to see people get their things just as much as Duran. And I do know Duran, thankfully. I have had an interaction with him, and he's a pleasant desire. I have been watching Duran for over 10 years. So to see the longevity of his career and now he got that Grammy. Oh my, as an independent
artist. That's a big deal, guys.
Oh my gosh. I'm just so happy.
Also, I think it speaks to being authentically yourself. Did you see on Twitter last night? I said, oh baby, you, I feel like he knew he was going to win the Grammy, and he said, Someone said, you're so extra, and am. Because listen, people have no problem telling you you ain't going to be shit. So when you be shit, let me remind you, you told me I wasn't going to be shit. You ain't never going to make me feel bad for it.
And he specifically, or the person who tweeted that specifically said, Duran would be a superstar if he wasn't so extra and had all of his mannerisms and things. It's like, no.
That is why.
You understand that Duran is where he is because of how extra he is. Duran is an entertainer first and foremost, with the vocals to fucking match. Can't nobody do what Duran does, and that's the point. Like, that's why everyone loves Duran so much, because of his theatrics, because of how he hoots and hollers, because of how extra he is, because of how funny he is, but also be throwing that voice any which way but loose.
Duran reminds me of the old school Black Stars. We've talked about this before, how back in the day you had to be able to do everything. Sing, dance, act. Like, when I see his performances and I see clips of his performances, it really reminds me of, like, the old school variety shows where I'm not just sitting here watching you sing. I'm getting a performance. Like, this is, I'm getting all things. And that really is his appeal. And also, longevity wise, why he's going to be around for a long time. You know, those are the things that when you think about super, superstars, they can do a lot. They're not just doing one talent. They're doing multiple talents.
Yeah. He has just arrived, and he ain't going nowhere. Check that.
Did you see that Meliana Trump's movie flopped?
Who?
What's her name? Is it not Meliana?
What did? Hoopst?
The first lady. What's her name? Meliana. What's that lady named, Jamila?
I'll go with the fuck that bitch.
I don't know the lady. Melania. What's it is?
Melania. Oh,
Melania. Melania? I thought it was Meliana. I'm not going to lie. But I also don't care to really learn her name anyway.
I was going to say, I don't really give a damn.
I was just saying it flopped.
So my thing is, what the fuck? She has a movie?
Documentary about her life, titled Her Name, formerly Meliana, now as Melia. What is it again? Melania.
Melania.
Oh, isn't that, that's Teresa Giudice's daughter name too, from Jersey Housewives. Melania. Melania, stop. That's only Melania I respect though. It's Melania Giudice. So they were literally had Craigslist posting. They was paying people to go see it. That's how hard it flopped.
It's like, well, what did you expect, girl? Who the fuck gives a fuck about your life? At a time like this, for sure. Bitch, unless you're writing a tell-all novel, don't nobody give a fuck. Get the fuck out of here, bitch.
I just... It's...
Check her papers. This, what's her immigrant status?
It's so interesting watching the Trump administration fail at having public favor and trying to manufacture that they have public favor. You know?
Trying hard as like, shit, and it's
we
failing.
All see what's happening. No one is fucking with y'all. Like, so... Yeah, no one is going to go see this movie. There was a boy on TikTok who said he went to see it like 8 times back to back and made like $400 though. Like in the same day is what I'm saying. I was going to say, I ain't mad at you getting your money now. I ain't going to hate.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I mean?
It is what it is.
Because, you know, what is good ratings for that movie really going to do? I don't know. It's not like it's going to get good ratings. But if you made $400 off that shit, hey, good for you. Eat off them niggas. That reminds me when that black girl came out as a Trump supporter, racked all that money up and left.
And mind you, that's what bitches are acting like Nikki's finna do. And I'm like, she's not smart enough.
She's not. That's not what she's doing. She's. Yeah, let's get into Nikki Kuhn.
Nikki Kunaj. Kunaj.
Nikki Kunaj.
Listen, nothing surprises me anymore, though. I gotta be honest. I felt like. Obviously, Megan was a turning point, right? And I felt like, one, Bigfoot being an absolute horrible song. Up until that point, I had not heard a song by Nikki. Nikki had songs that I'm like, girl, what the fuck? But it was never like, girl, what the absolute fuck is this? That, and then I do think there's been multiple turning points where it's like, dang, it keeps getting worse. She talked about Megan's mama, which some people could argue, you know, there's no rules in hip hop disses. And okay, cool. But Bigfoot was bad. And then we go fast forward to this other round with Cardi where she says she was going to kick Culture in the mouth or some shit. I feel like. and then that's what I'm saying. I feel like there have been several points where she keeps catching people off guard with how far she's willing to take it. So it's not necessarily surprising that she's here. But it's like, damn, oh, how far the mighty have fallen. Because this is the type of shit, like, industry-wise, obviously she'll be able to sell tickets. She's Nicki Minaj. But industry-wise, being respected by your peers, you're not coming back from this. And that's been over with. But I'm saying this was like a nail in a coffin type shit.
You know, it's... Nicki, can't you see... Sometimes your world, you know, it's so crazy looking at where we are today with Nicki Minaj, thinking back to 10, 15 years ago where we were with Nicki Minaj. Like that, the difference is startling and it's sad. Like, it's really, really sad because it did not have to be this way. And when I had made a video a while ago, kind of just giving, not grace, but kind of just saying, like, I understand feeling ostracized and feeling like you don't have nobody, feeling like even if I made mistakes in the industry, like, damn, like, can't nobody help me out? And, like, there were critiques that Nicki made over the years that were valid and had validity. And I think that everybody agreed to that. But the way in which she took her grievances out on newcomers was always, I think, the issue that people had. Because while, yes, the industry has all these issues, I don't think anybody's negating that. You cussing young mulatto out on Twitter because of something that she can't control, those two things don't make sense. And it was like a track record of consistently hashing out your issues on the wrong people. And so it just kind of was distasteful, right? But all of that still did not waver her respect as an artist, I think. I think right. That was kind of just like, some people kind of just like, ah, Nicki's annoying, Nicki's mean or whatever. Okay, cool. People be mean, right? It was never anything that deep. To then go off a completely derail of your entire career, mm-hmm. for what? And for those Barbs who are just so indebted to her, and I get it, because as a Beehive member, if I woke up tomorrow and seen Beyonce standing next to Trump doing the things that Nicki did, I too would be like, my sister, she got to have a plan for this. This has to be, something has to be deeper. I too would be so confused, like, bitch, this has to be meaning something, right? I get it. It's a heart hit, right? But Nicki didn't just wake up one day and stand with Trump. Mm-hmm. So I can't understand why y'all are trying to overly defend her when she's not trying to overly defend you or herself. She's telling you exactly what she means. You know what I mean? It's not like these, because there's been a lot of other Black artists who have randomly done concerts here and there with Trump. We get that, right? But they didn't also go on Coke Twitter rants calling us the idiots, right? Talking down on us. That is so strange.
And why does Chrissy Teigen have a dick? What does that have to do with anything?
What the hell did Chrissy Teigen do?
Fat Lizzo even, what?
Why is she cussing out George Clinton?
George Clinton, atomic dog? Girl,
yes, she literally said something about George Clinton, bro. I didn't see the
George Clinton tweet. Hold on. Nicki Minaj, yes, George Clinton.
She tweeted something random about George Clinton. I said, yo, and was George Clinton even at the fucking Grammys? Mind you, when Trevor made that joke about Nicki, mind you, it was really tame. It was like the easiest fucking joke. Like, Nicki isn't here, by the way. Like, of course Nicki isn't here. Like, you think I'm not gonna take a cheap shot, bitch, while I'm the motherfucking host? Bitch, you better be glad I wasn't the goddamn host.
Oh,
bitch,
she said George Clinton, sit your stinking ass down.
That's what I'm, like, where did that come from?
Why would you say that?
as soon as Trevor had made that joke about her, I knew immediately her ass was finna be on that Twitter. But I knew she was gonna be tweeting regardless, because here's the thing that y'all don't want to accept, Barbs. Nicki wants so bad to be back in those spaces. Nicki wants so bad to be back with her peers, to be at the Grammys, to be at the award shows, shucking and jiving with the rest of them. She wants to be at that Clive Davis Grammy party so bad. She wants to be at the BET Hip Hop mm-hmm. Awards. She wants to be everywhere her peers are. She wants that throne back. But the thing is, she knows that she has done so much damage and she no longer has those relationships, so she can't get there no more. So what am I going to do instead? I'm going to just say, fuck y'all. That's all this is. She don't have no community. Don't nobody fuck with her. And so now she's like, y'all not fucking with me? I'm not fucking with y'all. And I'm going to just go off on a tangent. I'm just going to go off. She's looking for community in the wrong places. Because if you think for a second, them fucking crackers want your Black ass from Trinidad, bitch. You're fucking lying. The same people that was just talking shit about you a couple of years ago, then you got your ass up here on Twitter talking about some, yeah, they're doing these satanic rituals. Bitch, where was that energy when people was calling you the queen of the Illuminati during your Roman era?
Because the North remembers.
All of a sudden, you want to try to validate these bullshit-ass Illuminati rumors. Girl, get the fuck out of here. Where was that energy when you was doing songs with Beyonce? When you was huddled up under Hove? Where was that? Now, all of a sudden, you want to say the Illuminati's real and they doing satanic rich. Girl, get the fuck out of here. If that shit is real, then you was doing it too. Get the fuck out of here. How convenient, bitch. You're anti-Black. You have no community. And you have no more bars either. There, I said it.
There was never an album.
There was never an album.
There was never an album.
Fuck. And I said that. I said, this bitch ain't got no goddamn album.
And I think, and you know what's crazy? Taking it back to one of your points earlier. This, her really getting up there and really putting MAGA on her back is the thing, though, that I've seen make people go. Because before it was like, Nicki's crazy, but she's still Nicki Minaj. Bitch, it was like, you know,
the elephant in the room that nobody will speak on.
This shit done, I done seen people come, oh, she can't rap, she can't. And that was never a part of the conversation. That part was never, it was always, Nicki can rap, but I don't like how she did this. Nicki can rap, I don't like how she the queen of rap.
And I'm just, I don't like this.
Now, it's to the point motherfuckers like, the bitch can't rap, she ain't put out a good song in a decade. That's what I said. Oh, shit. Like, we're in a different era. Also, Jamila and I have both been doxxed by the Barbs. I got on the news in Houston and told the Barbs, if you want to come to my house, I will send you to meet your maker. Like, that was a real moment. And the fear that the Barbs had, I remember someone was like, oh, y'all was scared of the Barbs. I'm not scared of the Barbs, but the Barbs were absolutely using fear tactics. It was a point in time where it's like, people didn't want to speak on Nicki because they didn't want their information doxxed. They didn't want certain things to happen. She has fallen so far off that no one is even scared of the Barbs no more. It's just seen as like, oh, you're a Barb? It's like being MAGA. It's like, oh, you're a Barb? Like, it's like your fan base doesn't even have the respect that they had at one point in time. And I think that is like the turning point when it's like
she doesn't even respect her fan base anymore. There, what's crazy is her fan base is still right now actively currently defending her to great lengths, right? Like, no, she has a bigger plan. She's playing chess. All these dumb ass explanations for whatever the fuck she's doing right now. And she's blocking them.
Shout out to Ray Monte.
I will never not laugh at her blocking Ray Monte. I'm sorry, Ray Monte.
I'm sorry, Ray Monte.
I know that hurt my baby Ray Monte so bad.
When he said, yes, I am a dumbass bitch. Ray Monte, please.
I know Ray Monte is so sad about that. But it's like, bro, like, she does not respect y'all. She only respects people who bend the knee at her.
You know what I always say, Jamila? The problem with Nicki is she wanted people to do what she did to Lauryn Hill. When Lauryn Hill is Nicki Minaj's idol. When she met Lauryn Hill, she dropped to her knees and kissed Lauryn Hill's feet. Mind you, Lauryn Hill is clearly uncomfortable with this whole interaction because typically, I mean, people want their respect, but I do think someone getting down and actually kissing your feet, like it's just jarring. And it's like, that's what...
It's kind of like,
thank you. You know, that's what she wants from other people. And it's like, you can get respect, but most people, I'll say, are not going to quite literally kiss your feet, which is what she wanted the girls to do. And that's really the issue, honestly.
And I think what's funny is like the Barbs, they see people critiquing and like, I make jokes all the time, but also I'm a comedian. I'm sorry. I'm going to do that every single time. I don't give a fuck. So yes, I do make jokes about it. But I think the Barbs see people talking about Nicki and making jokes and think that we have this like secret animosity where we've always wanted Nicki to fail. And it's like, no, y'all are missing it. This is actually really fucking sad. And I think that that's what makes it so insane and intense for us. We are watching somebody who we all praised. When Nicki first came out, when Nicki was in her prime, Nicki did not just have a lot of haters. We're not going to rewrite history, bro. That's not what happened. Nicki was the only female rapper getting praise for a very long time. Nicki was not did not just have a whole bunch of haters, at least publicly. That did not happen, bro. And so to make it seem like everybody was just praying and waiting on her downfall, that's not what's happening. Nobody is just excited that Nicki's finally failing. We watched Nicki tarnish her own career. We watched it live time. We have the proof because she told us. We are simply watching the consequences of her actions play out. And for us, we're sitting in a place where we watched you go from the head bitch in charge of this shit to going to be some mean ass lady to all these other women.
She's like a caricature.
To then shucking and jiving and become a fucking coon, bro. That's embarrassing. As a black woman, I'm embarrassed, bitch. Look at what you're doing. And it's you're so far gone at this point, I don't even give a fuck about giving you your flowers anymore. about being one of the hardest MCs that we've ever had. Who cares anymore if this is what you do with it? Who the fuck cares? As a black person in this country with all the fucking shit we got going on and this is what the fuck you want to do with it? Fuck them raps, bitch. What Remy say? Fuck Nicki Minaj. But you know what I'm saying? Itty bitty piggy, come on. I'm still rapping no shade. You know what I'm saying?
Because I was going to play with Dwayne. And a couple other songs. I'll give you that.
You know what I mean? Like,
you feel me?
You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, if you niggas can still step in the name of love, I can still rap itty bitty piggy when it comes on. But let me say this. I'm not going to give it much else. When the song goes off, it's over with. That's it and that's all.
Just like her career.
You know? Shout out to Gag City. I know it's ruins right now.
And somebody had tweeted me because I was, of course, talking about, I had tweeted I said how convenient it would be for her to wait until everyone has turned their backs on her because of her own affiliation to a fascist regime to now all of a sudden come out with satanic ritual allegations, LMFAO. Where was this energy when folks were making 10-minute YouTube Illuminati claims against her during her Roman era? Somebody said, girl, shut up. I don't see you saying much about the files that your fave husband is in. Y'all love to talk about Nicki, but when she was getting swatted, it was crickets. When people were bashing her constantly from 2018 to 2022, it's crickets. Shut up. See, my thing is, none of the deflection that y'all have in order to make it work, because what the fuck does any of that have to do with what I just said? You can't acknowledge it because you know it's true, right? And I'm like, for one, to make it seem like I don't care about the Epstein files, when, mind you, this nigga follows me. So it's like, you're, first of all, please.
Epstein follows you?
Let's be serious here. Mecca.
Wait, you said this nigga follows me.
The nigga who tweeted me, Mecca.
Oh. I just had a Mary Cosby moment. She's going to hell.
Like
she's a cult leader. Can we just take I just have to go on a rant. Mary Cosby is excellent TV, y'all. And if you are a fan of her, I really suggest not watching that documentary because she is absolutely a cult leader. She is financially abusing the congregants in her church. I don't believe it was always a cult, but the husband situation, he groomed her. Very weird. That's not what her grandmother want. That was a complete lie. Also, it was a prominent black church in Salt Lake City, one of the only ones for many, many years. And the reason they're so rich is because mama started all these businesses for black people. So she opened up the soul food restaurant. She opened up the beauty supply. She opened up the fucking laundromat for black people. That's why they got all that damn money. And I say that to say Mary has committed a bunch of black on black crime. So if you like Mary, I don't think that you should watch that shit, because it's like, damn, you can't even sit there and say, oh, well, she was doing it to white people. No, this was to niggas. Yeah.
Bro, yeah. I'm crying. I don't watch that show for
real. I don't either. Salt Lake City's not my jam, but you know.
But she's Pentecostal, wasn't she? I think I had watched like a couple of episodes. They're Pentecostal. But
sorry. I had a Mary Cosby moment though.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
know. The way you set it up, I said, what? You said this nigga and you had said Epstein. I thought you were saying Jay-Z followed you. I was going to say he only followed Beyonce. He's not even on Twitter.
None of your train of thoughts worked.
Literally.
None of them. Not one of them. Not one of them. Anyways, that'd be real. Like, bitch, take a shot every time Mecca doesn't make sense. Like, what? Okay. Anywho, what else happened with the Grammys?
Gaga. Oh, we said we're going to talk about Gaga and her archived Alexander McQueen fit. And her, I don't know. Listen.
Weird Gaga is back.
She looks the fuck good, bro. She looks the fuck good. I said, whatever she's been doing, because I'll say Hollywood had this era where the fillers were starting to get weird. I'm glad that everyone has.
It's still weird because
a lot of people
are not in, like, the starlets who have the money to go properly get their shit dissolved and redone have done it, but like regular people have not. So when you walk outside and you see a filler bitch, it's still giving a little weird. But my point is, whatever Gaga did recently, she tugged. She tugged at that face. It's tight.
She looks really good.
I love it.
And she sounded really good. Something I love about Gaga as a theater queen herself, she is going to give you live vocals.
Yep.
And they're crisp. And the thing is, like, of course, Gaga is a pop singer, so all of her songs are very poppy, poppy, poppy. But those vocals, those are classically trained vocals, boo. She sounded so good. And I like the way that her voice has matured over the years as well. Like, she sounded so fucking good.
She did. When she was doing this, I said, the bitch is back. The rah-rah is back.
There we go.
Yes, Gaga, yes. The monsters.
There we go.
I saw someone tweet, she could have, the person tweeted, she could have coasted after A Star Was Born and just did like the normal shit, but she came back for the freaks. And I love her for that.
Immediately, she was like, I have something to say.
Roar! Yes, girl. Yes.
How did you feel about the tributes? I will say, when Reba started singing, I did cut my dryer on. No shade to Reba McEntire. I just, you know what I'm saying? I did need to dry my failed roller set, so I had turned her on. So I didn't really hear that, but I absolutely turned that shit off for Ozzy's tribute. Y'all know I'm a rock and roll daughter. That was so good. Let me tell you something about that cracker Post Malone. Baby, I don't know why you ever rapped to begin with.
He just need a platform.
He sounded so good. He sounded so good singing rock and roll. I'm like, oh, this is your lane. So rock has a very distinct type of sound that I like to hear from my rock and roll singers. And he has that vocal fry, that grit, that growl, that even that vibrato of rock. He sounded so good. I said, Post, baby, you better do that. You better do that, Post. And they had Slash Biracial Ass up there slanging and danging and langing. I said, God damn it. Rock and roll, man. Rock and roll. It was really good. And then they swooped with that camera to skinny ass Sharon and...
Them babies is going through it since Ozzy done died. Child, they so damn skinny. Something is amiss. Something is amiss. They
were so skinny and sad.
It's like they're not okay. Like they're not good.
Ooh. I said, ooh. Kelly, baby.
Grief.
Kelly, baby.
They'll do that to you. Ooh. You know what the thing is, though? She's been open about, I think.
No, she was skinny before the grief.
Oh, stopped. I hadn't really talked. I hadn't seen her too much.
Oh, she was skinny.
But I was going to say, she's talked about eating disorders. Like, she has been open, I believe. But what I'm saying is, grief can really intensify that. Because what I saw, I said, oh.
They looked, listen, I felt so bad. I'm like, oh. They really
and that, and I feel like that's the other thing. Not only was it skinny, but it was like very clear. I'm sad. I miss my dad.
They looked so sad. I was like, oh, like I felt so emotional for them. Like they, but it was just like, damn. Like I know in their mind, they was probably like, my daddy can't die because he's already experienced every fucking thing. And it's just like, damn. Ozzy really got up out of here, you know. But I really enjoyed the Ozzy tribute, and I really enjoyed the D'Angelo
somebody
tribute
said
as well.
I loved
Bilal got up there, and
someone said they loved how the tributes were segregated, and I also enjoyed.
I too enjoyed segregation. segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to see no white people on the D'Angelo tribute. Out of that, that would have agitated my soul. So y'all.
And it's like, if you know D'Angelo, to know D'Angelo is to know that to get a white person up there to sing, he would have woke up. What the fuck is this?
No.
That nigga was very adamant on, this is black music, bro. I think they sounded really good. I really enjoyed Lucky Day singing. I think he sang Brown Sugar. He sounded really good. Leon's, I like when he went up to the octave. I didn't like the lower octave, but when he went up the octave, he sounded really good. Rafael Sadiq got up there playing that guitar. Ooh. Bilal got up there. Ooh, and one thing I know, can I just say this? I know Bilal is an old nasty freak. I know
he What is. Makes you say that?
Have you heard Bilal's music? Have you seen him perform? He always looks like he's moaning.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's in the eyes, but I just wanted to know what you thought.
It's the way that he never looks directly into the audience. He's always, in his mind, he's always fucking something.
I'm fucking.
You know what I mean? And then he got up there saying Untitled. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, y'all knew what to give Bilal to sing. Yeah, I needed that.
They said Lauren was Lauren on time, sounded really so good. The check must have been nasty.
Oh, you know, hello. She was on time. Lauren sounded really good. I also love one thing I love about singers is the way their voice matures over time, if taken care of properly, for sure. And her voice over time has gotten so rich. Like, she's always had a very rich and like deep voice. Like, when I say deep, I mean like the depth of it. And now it's just like, it's just so, it's like crunchy. Yeah. I don't even know how to describe it. There's a certain rasp and like depth that she has of her voice now. I was like, oh, I just want to eat this, Lauren. She sounded so good when she did her Roberta Flack moment. Oh my God, I was just living.
Speaking of tributes.
That was a long ass tribute though.
Billy Porter's Mariah Carey tribute.
Anytime Billy Porter is mentioned, I immediately think about when he gave Jasmine Sullivan the Grammy. Jasmine Sullivan Hotels, pick up your hood feelings. That moment was so everything. I want Billy Porter to introduce me getting my Grammy. Just like that.
I know that's right. Also, Cher calling Cher calling Kendrick Luther.
First of all, Cher's entire moment was killing me. I said, you know what?
She's so like funny 80 about this years old.
Cher obviously, I was going to say, Cher obviously looks the fuck good, right? Cher is always a good. Yesterday reminded us that Cher is 80 fucking years old, bitch. That was the most 80-year-old shit I've ever seen. She said, well, I guess I'm just going to go now. Bye. Starts walking. Bitch, bring your ass. And she said, oh, okay. Talk about some, oh, I thought it was going to get up on the jumbo phone. She said, oh, Luther Vandross. The way I know, this is so bad. This is so bad.
No, but the way I know. Pocket. And that's why you can't trust no nigga from Oakland. Only thing a nigga from Oakland can do for me
the way,
is give me a role in his next film, Ryan Coogler.
The way I know for a fact that Cher immediately read that and thought that Luther actually won that Grammy and forgot that nigga was dead for a second. I know for a fact that she forgot that nigga was dead for a second.
Oh, I know.
Because she got so excited. Oh, it was Luther Vandross. She was watching all them niggas get on stage like, well, now what? Who the fuck is
this? Have you ever been like, if you have like older grandparents, but like the way old people do be forgetting people have died? That's why it's like, they especially do, if it was people who they was like around for a long time, it'd be kind of sad too. It's like, oh, she died. And then the way they just was,
she's gone. But shit, she looked good though. So shout
out
to
Cher. I'm gonna have my face pulled back. She bitch, tug my face, bitch. The fuck?
Oh God,
it ain't never gonna drop.
I don't care.
Damn more fuck.
You know, Jack Hay just got her face.
Mind you, she's only like a few months post op. They settle. It usually takes a year for them to really settle in. Hers looks so good already.
She looks.
I like
good.
How natural it is.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, guys. And this is no shade, but I seen someone on TikTok who got a facelift at 40-something. And while you have full autonomy to do whatever you want to do, for sure, if you want the best results, you should probably wait till you have something to tuck.
With facelift technology now, they're not full facelifts, though. So what they're doing is, like, Anne Hathaway had the way that they're doing. So historically, They used to literally cut your face like a Joan Rivers and pull the whole thing back. Now it's like, since we age and this is the first area to drop, it's like they're lifting certain parts of your face up one by one. So the girls aren't like, Anne Hathaway didn't get a full facelift. Lindsay Lohan didn't get a full facelift. They got like specific parts lifted, which is why they look really good and kind of and natural. You know, that's just my spiel. But it is recommended that you wait till you're around 45.
Please don't get in a facelift at 30. 30 bro.
Is crazy. Like, 30 is crazy. You should be doing microneedling. You could be doing PRP, PRF, PDGF, Sculptra. Like, there are so many. Like, a facelift at 30 is insane. Unless you've lost a lot of weight and you have, like, you know, you've lost elasticity in your skin.
Facelift at 40 is crazy, too. Like, we got to just, you know what I'm saying? Like, just.
Sometimes, but you know what? Sometimes the facelifts. I mean, a lot of times, facelifts alter the way people look. So people are, the girls are also looking for that. They might not want to look like themselves. For getting a facelift, it's like, that's going to pull, it's going to make my eye shape different. It's, people do be going for a specific look, too.
Okay.
But also, I feel like I'm black. No shade. So, some of the struggles. Mm.
I genuinely, like, if I was to, you know, if I was to, like, to get, like, a nose job or something, I never will, by the way. But, like, this is genuinely what I think would happen. Like, say if I, for whatever reason, thought I need to get, like, facial reconstruction surgery, I genuinely think I would wake up, look at myself in the mirror, have an existential crisis, and kill myself.
That kind of, I won't say it happens. It does happen sometimes. People have, like, mental breaks because they're not used to looking like that.
I cannot eat. Like, that would really stress me out. Like, I would literally be, like, I think I would, like, the, I kind of, like, have a panic attack thinking about mm-hmm. that now. I once broke out really, really bad from using Noxzema. And my face broke out in hives. And I literally had a panic attack because I couldn't, like, my face was so fucked up. And I didn't look like myself. And I was literally screaming on the phone to Jasmine, just like... I was screaming, like, I could barely breathe. Wow. Like, I literally, things like that really send me into psychosis. It don't take much. Thankfully, that didn't last very long. But, like, I can't imagine altering my face. I can imagine altering these titties, though. Check back.
Fun fact.
I won't give you guys my surgery date just yet because... I don't want anybody preying on my downfall.
Well, I mean, my surgery date is tomorrow. So by the time
drops. Well, by the time this drops, it'll be.
So I'm getting a backlift, guys. I'm really excited about it. It's part of the reason I braided my hair. I feel like it is going to hurt, but I've been watching a lot of videos. And they say after day two, you're pretty much straight. So it's not going to be too much. I definitely plan on making content about my recovery process, though.
Yes, tune into the Patreon. Tune into
the Patreon. Shout out to the Screw Crew. We've been pre-recording, mm-hmm. so this week we're dropping Elijah's episode of Sidebar. Elijah, a.k.a. Keisha Cole, the brother. And we definitely asked him about some questions about Keisha Cole.
Yes.
Oh, that was a good key. Really good. I love that.
And let us know who you want us to interview next. We do have our, like, kind of like a working list that we're kind of like going to be reaching out. But let us know who y'all want to see on Sidebar. And if you're not familiar with Sidebar, Sidebar is a Patreon exclusive series where we interview your favorite content right. creators about, you know, whatever we feel like talking about at that time, especially if they have some mess going on. You know, we're going to ask about the mess. But yeah, it's a Patreon exclusive. So let us know who y'all want to see. Men, women, they
do the vibes.
Whomever you wanna see, and we'll definitely do our due diligence to reach out and bring them on. But with all that being said, let's spin it.
All right. This is our segment, Spin It, where you guys send us your lowdown gutter snipe disgusting situations that really showcase the fact that you have no morals. PR is not an ethical career field, so it really it's okay in this context. Keep in mind that Jamila and I are not PR professionals. We just studied communications in undergrad, and we really, really love to talk about it. Email at unhingedanymoralpod@gmail.com if you would like a PR spin and some advice put on your disgusting ass decisions. Don't forget to send us your ages, your genders, your sexual orientations, your political affiliations, and if you're a man, your height. Jamila, what do we have this week?
It's kind of a long one. Dear Mecca and Jamila, let me start off by saying I love the podcast and everything you guys do on social media. I've been following y'all for a few months now, and every day I look forward to what you guys have to talk about. I think I'm a year older than both of you, and if we had all went to the same college, I feel like we would have been great friends.
Period.
Hey, friend. I love you guys. Spin it. I love you. You know I can't read. I love you guys. Spend your listeners' messiness. So I thought it would be good to share my experience, and I need some advice on this guy I'm seeing. I've been dating this guy I went to college with since May of last year. Also, guys, let me preface by this was sent March 6th. Now, I know some of y'all were like, spin it from March? Listen, guys, I don't think y'all understand how many spin it's we received.
We received a lot of spin it's. And we're going to read all of them. That's the thing.
Right, it's like keep sending them, guys. But also, you know, when we did our interviews, we didn't do the spin it. So like,
we're gonna do some kind of spin it exclusive, anyways. Like just spin it episodes on Patreon to kind of go through them.
Yes. Sorry, I just wanted to get that out there. That way, you can understand the time frame. Let me go back to that. I've been dating this guy I went to college with since May of last year. Although he graduated a couple years before I did, we ended up finding each other on Hinge without disclosing too much identifying information. I'm a therapist, so it's a habit. Call me Slim, and let's call him Serpent. He has green eyes. Yes. He's evil. Yeah. I can tell you now. Serpent is overall a great guy. He has a stable career in finance, pledged alpha. And comes with a strong two-parent household. I initially didn't like him when we first started dating because he talks too much. I want to believe he has undiagnosed ADHD. Now, how I get in it. But eventually, he grew on me. He makes me laugh. He's a great listener and pays attention to every detail. He also plans our dates very well. Although I'm getting to the point in my life where I'm tired of this college shit, men I've dated in my 20s either had mommy issues, daddy issues, or both, poor communications, or not good at handling uncomfortable conversations. While Serpent has none of these issues, he is recovering from a relationship of 4 years and has more than likely processed it in therapy. We love black men who go to therapy. It's been almost 3 years since his breakup, but he claims he is not ready for us to become serious because he is not where he wants to be yet. He shares a condo with his roommate, shares a car with his twin sister until he can purchase a new one, and is working on paying down his overall debt. I respect where he is at, but I feel that he is playing with me. I too am working on myself. I'm a therapist. I live alone. I'm not where I want to be just yet either. However, I like him. I like him as he is. I feel like we would be a great couple. I would further love the idea of us working on our shit individually while together. For Valentine's Day, he planned a beautiful weekend in the city. We're from Chicago. Bought me flowers, the whole nine. Although we had an uncomfortable conversation that further confirmed he is not ready for a relationship, it was sad because I really like him, and this triggers my rejection abandonment wounds. Since then, it's been awkward for me. Our conversations are pretty brief and spaced out, partially because I see 5 to 7 clients a day, but I also need my space. As I usually text him between sessions, I've since redownloaded Hinge, which is not what I wanted, but I'm no longer in the business of waiting for a man to get their shit together or decide if they want to be with me. Nothing good ever comes from that. I need my last name dropped and my eggs cracked. I would love to hear your spin on this situation. I'm at a crossroads on trying to figure out if I should distance myself or give him more time. Love y'all.
And she says she's a year older than us, so that means she's 30, or she's about to be 31. Sister, you the therapist. You already know that. And that's the thing. You already done told us, but you the therapist. Asking us, you the therapist. Now I can give you a little PR spin and tell you how I think you should leave this nigga alone. But like, you first of all, he from Chicago and he an alpha. Sister, you played. You played so hard right now, sis. Oh, well, I feel like, you know, people react to being 30 two different ways. You either reach your stride where you feel like, my God, I'm a woman, I don't want to settle down. Or you reach the point where it's like, I feel like I need to settle down. And I honestly think, from what it sounds like, it's more so the fact that you want to be married, like you said, you want your last name dropped and your eggs cracked, that's even making you question, mm-hmm. like, should I give this nigga a chance? This nigga clearly, he doesn't have a car and he lives with his roommate. And it's like,
He does have a car. He said he's sharing the car with his
sister. So he doesn't have a car. I feel like...
That's still having a car.
If your sister is using the car, then you don't have a car. And she just said they 31. So you're 31 sharing a car with your twin. That's some shit twins do at 21.
I mean, shit, times is hard. Cars are expensive. He clearly ain't got no good credit.
And sister, you're a therapist. I it seems like you are a little bit independent and got your shit together. You don't need to be trying to drop your last name and take the last name of a nigga who has all this shit going on financially anyway. You don't need to get pregnant by a nigga who's sharing a car with his twin sister. That can't be the goal. That can't be the goal.
Here's what I say. I think that having the goal of marriage is mm-hmm. great, right? You want to be married, you want to have kids, you want to have a family. That's great. I do, however, think that sometimes when you are really, really wanting that, sometimes you start to put unnecessary pressure on yourself, and that unnecessary pressure then turns into you feeling like a sense of rushness, right? And I'm not saying that's what's happening here. You are still relatively young, and I guess my question to you is, and you already said you re-downloaded Hinge, so that's great. If y'all are not in a relationship, why is that the only person you're entertaining? And I say that, and I know some people don't like to date multiple people at a time. It can be confusing, all the things, and I understand that. I definitely was there at some point, but you also have to think about the type of person that you are when you're dating. If you're the type of person that is like, my man, I only see you. Maybe you need to slow down and slow your pace, because now you're thinking this has to be mm-hmm. your husband, when this could just be somebody that you're dating.
Just fucking.
You know what I'm saying? And no shade, sister, if he doesn't want to be in a relationship mm-hmm. with you. Whether that's now mm-hmm. or ever, you do know that, because he's told you mm-hmm. more than once. And y'all are dating, and it seems like you're having a good time. It seems like you like him. Seems like he's a nice guy or whatever. And that's cool and all. But if he is not aligning with your actual goals, then that's your answer as well. If you feel as, and I don't know how long y'all have been dating. So I think that's the thing as well. I know you said he's been out of a relationship for 3 years, but you didn't say that y'all were, you know, dating for 3 years. I don't know how long y'all have been dating specifically. But if y'all have only been dating for a few months, I also think it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying?
Again, like, it's the age thing. Like, you start feeling like you need to be married, you need to start having kids, you start feeling the pressures of your biological clock. I mean, I can be honest and say, as someone who doesn't have kids, I thought about it like, okay, well, this, because the biological clock is a real clock. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but I do think that those desires are clouding your judgment. Because I do feel like if you took the fact that you want to be married out of it and that you want babies, this wouldn't even be a question.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, maybe you can, if you feel like this is really your man, like, if you feel like this is the man that you really see yourself with, and he has, you know, all the good things, right? Maybe it's time to change the conversation, right? Maybe it's not, what are we, I want to be with you. Maybe it's, hey, this is what mm-hmm. I want from you. This is what I want from us. What does that look like for you, and how can we get there? What are the steps that we need to take together to where we can mm-hmm. get to this point? That's a different, mature conversation that is a little uncomfortable, but I feel like that conversation is a lot better to have when you, especially in this age, because it's solution mm-hmm. based, right? And it doesn't put this pressure of, what are we right now? Like, make a decision right now, today. Because that can be a little jarring for someone who's not ready to make those decisions, versus, hey, listen, I love you. I like you. I feel these things about you. And I am totally understanding the position that you're in right now. And I want to respect that. But I also want to let you know that this is what I want from us. Is that something that you could see happening with me? And if he agrees, like, yeah, I do see that happening. Okay, well, how can we
get there? Honestly,
what can I do to make you feel comfortable to get there? And what can you do for me? How can we as a team work together to get to this end goal?
If you're like from a PR perspective, I think that the conversation you should approach it, and you can even make a joke like, you know, this is something that we like, I've been asking you, but this is what I want. Like, I think you should just be completely honest and be like, this is what I want for myself for the next 5 years. Is this also what you want for yourself? And do you see this with me? Like, I don't even think this should be a PR spin per se. This should just be a like, what the, like, and not what the fuck are we doing? More so, because this is how I've been having conversations as I get older too. It's like, I'm gonna let you know what I want. I can't make no nigga do anything he don't want to do, period. You not gonna make no nigga be your man who don't want to be your man. All I can do is tell the nigga, I want a man. So what do you want? And if you also want a woman, okay, now the next question is, would I be your woman? Do you see that happening? I think you should lead with, this is what I want. This is what I want. And on the flip, just in my experience, it also kind of tricks your brain to making yourself stay accountable to yourself. Because I feel like a lot of times, especially when we're younger as women and girls, it's like, oh, you'd be like, I don't want to do that. But you like that boy so much that you find yourself doing stuff you would never do. So if you pull up on him and tell him, this is what I want, if you don't move like that, it makes you look like a pushover. It makes you look stupid. And you'll never really get what you want because he's not actually going to respect you. So it puts you in a position where you have to stay true to your wants and your desires and yourself, regardless of what he says.
And operating from the assumption that he's a good guy, because from what you were explaining, you didn't say that, like, he's not a good guy, right? So I'm just going to operate to say that, like, he's good, right? Despite knowing that
he's from Chicago.
And has green
eyes. I completely forgot that part. It's like, you said he's a good guy and then named low vibrational characteristics.
You know what I mean? We're going to say that you struck gold, right? So let's say that he's a great guy. We're operating within that frame of thinking. And like I said, you want this to be your man. And you said that. And let's also pretend that, like, him not being over his relationship trauma is also a thing. You also say he's in therapy. Okay, cool. Let's say that all of that is happening. This is going to set this. Just rock with me. These are mature ideas, guys. So just let me rock. I think you can also ask him, hey, is there anything that I can do to reassure you in this space right now, getting into a relationship? Is there something that I can do on my end to help you feel as though there is a security within our relationship? And I think that that's a good beginner question to start having the conversation about how you can leave that that past relationship trauma alone and focus on the present. Because the same can be said in reverse. Like, if you were in a, and I can speak from my perspective, being in a past relationship that was all of the things, right? And having to unpack that trauma so that I can focus on newer relationships. If a man was to ask me that, how would I answer, right? Like, if a man was to say, hey, listen, I know you've had all this relationship trauma, but I'm ready to lock this down and I really want to boop, 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 boop. Is there anything that I can do to reassure you in this way so that you don't feel this old relationship trauma coming up? What were the things that happened in that relationship that is causing you to feel all this anguish? Sometimes you gotta kind of go backwards to kind of go forward, right? So yes, he's working through all that relationship trauma with his therapist, but if you're trying to be his woman, you should probably also understand what's going on within that past relationship as well, so that you can figure out what those things are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I was taking a video for my vlog TikTok as Jamila was talking.
But you know what I'm saying, sister girl? And something you're going to also have to understand is this may not be
he's the not the nigga for you.
This may not
he's
be your not. Husband. And that's okay too. You're not
bet money. This was sitting in March. You're girl, okay. You're not with that nigga. You're not fucking with that nigga.
I would love
you're
to not know fucking with update. That nigga. You're not I would love to know nigga. The update. Sometimes men will kind of like drag you along because it's just like easy. It's just like, I mean, you're still here. But that's why I say you need to figure out what you got to kind of stand firm in those boundaries. For me, in the space that I'm in, I'm not in the space that you're in, right? I'm not being like, I'm not looking for a marriage today. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not dating with that intention in mind currently. So I'm in a place where I'm very fluid in the expectations. I'm trying not to get too much of my personal business out there. Y'all know me, Mystery Cat.
What's the meme? Oh, oh brother. You know what
I mean? But it's just, it's a lot. I do feel a lot less pressure though, because I'm not doing that. I'm able to kind of just,
I
exist within these situations. And I think that, and I'm not telling you that you should take that away, because your want is your want. But I'm saying is, don't let that be your motivation for talking to somebody. Let that be your subtle goal, right? Your timeline, your the things that you consider within the compatibility, right? I'm not saying let that go, because that's what you want and that's what you're ready to do. You deserve that. But don't let that be your only motivation talking to these niggas, because you will absolutely ignore certain things just to get that ring, and then you're going to be pissed when you get divorced 2 years later.
Yeah, I also think, you know, by you having a child, that's a big part of this as well. And I'm just speaking from my own experience. I'm past this, but I do absolutely feel and empathize with the, okay, so am I going to have a baby? And I really feel like that's the piece. I mean, you said you want to drop your last name and you want your eggs cracked. When you get to the age where you feel like you should have a baby and you become aware of your biological clock, it can absolutely cloud your judgment, because you're focused on getting that baby, right? And you will have a baby with the nigga you don't need to have a baby with. And I think that's the real mistake that a lot of women make, because there are niggas who are ready to have a baby. They're feeling the pressure just like we are. I'm telling you, being outside, the boys our age are ready to get married. And if that's really your goal and desire, you need to leave this nigga the fuck alone. Because I'm saying this as someone who felt like this a couple years ago. I no longer feel like this about having kids. I keep running into the niggas who, let's have a baby today. Like I want to settle down. Like, so they're out there. They're feeling the same pressure we're feeling. And if that's really the end goal, then I think that you need to be more focused on dating in alignment and dating someone who is also very interested in settling down and starting a family. That would be like the first step.
And since we're talking about biological clock, let me kind of put you at ease a little bit, sister. You have time with our medical advances. I do believe they have actually expanded what is considered a geriatric pregnancy, which was once 35. I believe they extended it to 40, just to kind of put your you know, biological clock at ease. Like, so if you're probably about to turn 31, sister. You know what I'm saying? Like,
a lot. I was gonna say a lot can change in a year, girl. Shit, it's been almost a year. Let us know what the hell going on right now.
You know what I mean? Right. I don't want you, and that's the thing. A lot of the girls start climbing to 30, and it's like, oh my gosh, I haven't been it today.
Breathe.
Okay. And guess what? And I have to say this. I'm sorry. I have to say this. If you never have a baby, you are okay too. And I know that y'all probably don't want to hear that, especially from a bitch who has a baby. But I don't want your self-worth to be wrapped up in something that is not guaranteed. And I tell this all the time. That's why I've also made peace with myself about the possibility of never getting married, because that's not something I can guarantee. I don't want your self-worth to be wrapped up in something that you cannot control or you cannot guarantee. And also, you can adopt. I know a lot of people have their feelings about adoption, but there are some babies out there who deserve some parents who want to be parents. And so just some perspective to think about. because it's something that I think we should talk about. I think a lot of people are really obsessed with the idea of having biological children. And if you get to that place where maybe you discover you're not able to, now you're depressed, and now you're feeling all of these things, and you're feeling a lack of self-worth. You're feeling like you did something wrong. You're feeling all of these internal feelings, and I 100% understand it, and I don't think nobody doesn't understand it, but I want you to understand that you are still all of the things that you are. Your life is not now in vain because you were not able to birth a child. Your humanity is not taken away. Your womanhood is not taken away because of that. Like, because I know that there's a lot of women out there who deal with infertility issues, or who deal with, maybe I just never found the right partner. And maybe I'm never going to get married. Maybe I did not ever find my right person. You are still that bitch.
Okay. That girl.
Think about all the things that you've done in your life. Focus on being the best you that you can be, and focus on being fulfilled within yourself, and anything else is extra.
And I'll say this, that we could be done with it. As a bitch who doesn't have a baby and felt like this 2 years ago, the moment I stepped back, I let go of expectations, and I really started doing things to fulfill myself, I could have a baby. I would say maybe I want a baby, maybe I don't. But I know that if I don't ever have a baby, I will be just fine. And I think that all the girls should do the work to get to the point where if it doesn't happen, you don't feel like a failure. And I do, and I love watching older women talk about life decisions, talk about things. And you do have a lot of older women who say, maybe if I had, maybe I should have put more focus on my personal life or my romantic relationships, blase, blase. But something I've also noticed with the same women, they have like a peace with it, if it makes sense. A peace that when you talk to mothers who maybe didn't pour into themselves, it doesn't come off like regret. So when you watch like childless women who are thriving in their lives, just be like, you know, I'm thriving. I love my life. And I can acknowledge that maybe I should have did this because I would have liked to be a mother. But it's not like said with a sense of regret. It's more said just like I'm just really examining and reflecting. And that would have been nice to do, but I didn't do it. And I like my life. Where with the counterpart with the moms, and they're discussing their regrets with kids and how they didn't pour into themselves, it really seems like regret. And that always really stands out to me. I would much rather be the woman who is still very much happy in my life, so motherfucking happy with my life that I'm able to reflect and be like, that would have been cool to do, but I did do it, and now I'm here, and you know, life is life, and I'm still having fun.
Absolutely. Child, listen. Don't nobody got the answer to life, and we fuck sure don't have an answer to relationships. And that's always, whenever I see people, let me tell you something right now. If anybody ever tells you they are a relationship expert,
liar,
and don't believe a bitch ass thing that they say. These relationship coaches, these dating coaches, they can give you some tips and tricks about what. Like, nobody really knows the keys to dating, because the truth of the matter is, guys, we're all so fucking different. We're like, we're just all so different. And it's just one of those things, like, it's gonna happen or it's not gonna happen. It's gonna be awkward. It's gonna be weird. It's gonna be complex. Every time you date someone new, that's a new fucking human being that you're encountering. Mm-hmm. Think about all the new people that you've met in this world, and none of them became your friend. So now it's like talking about lovers. Yeah. Bro, what? It's just a game. You know, it's literally a game of Sims.
We're in the
bitch.
Sims.
Like, and you know what I'm saying? I think the best thing you can do is experience it and just fully like dive into the experience. And you know what I'm saying? If that experience ends, then it ends. You can't be on a roller coaster forever sometimes. Sometimes you got to get off that bitch. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to get on the Ferris wheel. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to get a fried Oreo.
Well, that was profound.
I am a philosopher.
Sometimes you got to get it fried over you.
Okay.
Sometimes you got to get it fried over you. Sometimes you got to get a big ass turkey leg. I don't know. Sometimes you got to get a deep fried piece of cheesecake.
And guess what? Sometimes you got to go home.
Sometimes you can't stay.
Sometimes you need your hands.
Sometimes you're not tall enough for the ride. Good.
Sometimes you don't want a ride.
Sometimes you don't got a fast pass. Sometimes you don't got enough money for the $20 bottle of water.
Amen. Oh, amen. Shit is rough. Out here, man.
Well,
it's rough.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Unhinged and Immoral. Don't forget to become a part of our Screw Crew. Our Patreon subscribers get a bunch of exclusive content. We have our sidebar series where we talk to other creators and we kiki and chat with them. We also have our screwballs, which could probably be akin to Donkey of the Day. We say screw you to whatever person, place, or thing we feel like talking shit about or who has done something stupid. And then we have our Slumber Party series, which is more of a for when me and Jamila are in person, but we get a little loose on there and talk a little bit more about our business. Jamila doesn't act so much like a smooth vagina Barbie on there. During Slumber Party,
perhaps you'll get a little one, perhaps you get a little two. But that's what makes Patreon so fun. It's exclusive. It's only for the cool kids.
Also, like we said at the top, our Patreon subscribers will start, we're going to go live and be including them in the chat, so it's like y'all will get to see this episode before the Thursday drop. Instead of doing early releases, y'all are going to get to see it live. Well, it'll still be an early release because it'll be uploaded. Exactly. You get what I'm trying to say.
Any other church announcements?
I really think that covered everything.
Mm-hmm. Also, like you said, Mecca is getting her surgery this week. So check back into the Patreon. I'm sure she'll give some updates.
Maybe.
Yes, that's all I can think of. Subscribe to the Patreon live show.
Shout out to Jay Hill. He is Joe Jackson.
We are definitely going to start the conversation and the planning process for a live show. It will be after I get my titties. I can tell you that right now.
So,
no, take that out, Jay. Take that out.
Were we not supposed to say the date?
No, I'm not saying the date. Jay, take that date out when you edit this. Thank you.
What's the timestamp? So you can just text him at 1:20.
Yeah, 1:20. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that being said, see you guys next week.